Scripture reading this morning will be Mark 9, 33 through 35. Mark 9, 33 through 35. If you're using a pew Bible, that's page 845. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all."
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 9, where Jeff just read for us. We're going to be looking at this passage this morning and building upon it in a few moments, Mark chapter 9. Before we really get into today's lesson, let me start by giving you an overview of how the next month is going to go with the lessons on Sunday morning, but also with some other things that are going to be taking place among our church family. First of all, next week I'm going to be away on Sunday morning with CYC and keep those of us who will be attending that in your prayers. It's a really encouraging and uplifting time, especially for our youth. So I'll be away next week. But then for the first 3 weeks of the month of March, at the elders' request, we are going to begin a series of lessons in which we examine what it means to be a deacon, to hold that office within the church, and not just what it means to meet qualifications, but what it means to do the work of a deacon. And in this process, and we'll be outlining and detailing more of this as we go along, you will be asked, once we get to the middle of March, to submit names to the elders for them to review and eventually put before us as a congregation for men who potentially we think could serve in addition to our existing deacons. And so even though today's lesson is in some ways a forerunner to those things, you can go ahead and be thinking and reading, especially from 1 Timothy 3, about what Scripture says about deacons in that office, and be thinking about us as a church family. And I'll go ahead and say this, and I'll say it again as we go into the series in March, even for those of you who have been serving us as deacons and continue to do so, this will also be an opportunity to remind yourself and to be challenged as far as the work that you are currently doing. Speaking of those men, this next screen, just to remind all of us, shows you our eight current deacons. And so whomever we put forward potentially next month would serve in addition to these eight men: Larry Capshaw, Mark Coe, Van Frazier, Rich Hawkins, Wayne Lilly, Russ Mitchell, Jim Ross, and Jeff Whitaker. It's good from time to time for us as a congregation to remind ourselves these are our servants. And I'll have more to say about their specific role as we go into March. And let me remind you and all of us of this, that our elders sometimes ask these eight men to do specific tasks. Sometimes they'll look upon one deacon and say, "We especially want you to see that this gets done, or for you to handle this particular situation." Sometimes they speak to the group collectively and say, "Here are some things we want you as a group to do." And to be honest with you, there's a lot of things that our deacons do that we don't always see or recognize. But we need to lift these men up in addition to our elders and our prayers for the works that they are doing. You probably saw on that first title screen that I had, it was titled, "We Are All," and then there's this really weird word. And you're going to see this really weird word throughout this lesson today on the screen. I left it in the Greek characters. Those are Greek letters. And if you were to pronounce that, or at least the best that I can pronounce it, that word is diakonos. Diakonos is the word that is used in 1 Timothy 3 to speak of the office that these men occupy for our congregation, and that this, since the establishment of the church, that these people occupy in the work of the church. However, and this is something that happens, you know, when you translate something from one language to another, the Greek word diakonos is not just used for the office of deacons. And so if you look in your newsletter today, I've actually called this sermon, "We Are All Deacons." Now, when I say that, I don't mean that we all occupy the office that those eight men that I just listed on the screen occupy. But the Greek word diakonos is also translated, sometimes it's translated minister, and sometimes it's translated servant. And the passage that we're going to look at this morning in Mark chapter 9, I'll read it again, verses 33 through 35. "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, 'What were you discussing on the way?' But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant.'" The Greek word there is diakonos, the same word that is used in 1 Timothy 3 to speak of the office of deacon. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant or minister or deacon of all. We are all called to be this word, diakonos. We are all called to be servants. This morning, based on this passage and based on our understanding of this word, I want us to help us understand what Jesus is getting at and what this word means with three easy-to-remember definitions of this word, diakonos. The first one is actually going to come from a Greek lexicon that I read this past week in researching this. Now, sometimes I'll say I've looked up something in a Greek lexicon. That sounds really fancy. It makes people who stand up and teach and preach sound like that they know something that nobody else knows, or they have some level of scholarship that should impress you. Well, this definition that I found, there is nothing fancy or scholarly or special about it, but this is the definition I found in this Greek lexicon. It is this: a diakonos is one who gets something done. One who gets something. I love that definition. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to know anything about the Greek language to appreciate what it means to be somebody who gets something done. And when it comes down to it, a real servant, you know what he or she does? They just do something, and they get it done. They don't just talk about something. They don't wait for somebody else to do something. They don't say, "Oh, that's not all that important." They just get something done. That's what we need everywhere, isn't it? We just need people who get stuff done. And you don't have to understand this word or how to pronounce it, but you need to appreciate what it means to be a servant. Being a person who gets stuff done. Too often, and when I say we here, I'm especially talking about me. Too often we think that certain tasks are beneath us. There's somebody else who can do that. Too often we think that we have better things to do. Yeah, I could do that right now. And yeah, that needs to get done. But I've got better things. I've got things I'm better equipped to do. Or again, we're looking around and seeing, well, they're not doing these things, or they didn't do that, and why should I pick up their mess or serve in places where they are not currently serving? And before you know it, that kind of mindset and that kind of thinking gets to be contagious, doesn't it? I start thinking, well, that's beneath me. I don't need to do this. There's somebody else for that. Or nobody else out there is doing these things. And so then I'm not serving. And then you look at me and you say, well, Blaine's not doing this either. And then somebody looks at you. And before you know it, we've got a whole system. Whether that system is within a family, whether that system is within a business or a school or a team or a community or a nation or a church, we start to think that the diakonos, the servant, that's everybody else. But that's not me. Well, we're not the only ones who've been guilty of that mindset. Because here in Mark chapter 9, the 12, the apostles themselves, they're traveling with Jesus, and while they're walking, We're told, in Mark's language, in the English Standard Version says that they were arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Now we read that and we smirk and we laugh and we find it amusing because it sounds so silly and so immature. These 12 men, you think he's better than you? Where do you think he ranks in Jesus' mind? We think, well, why would adults do something like that? And yet we do it all the time. It might not sound the exact same way maybe some of their debates and arguments sounded, but these things go back to the very beginning. We have always, as human beings, been jockeying for position and for a sense of significance. Think about Adam and Eve. As soon as God comes to the garden, what do they start doing? It's his fault. It's her fault. It's the serpent's fault. That's a sense of jockeying for position, not taking responsibility, not being accountable for oneself. Cain and Abel. What's Cain's problem? You accepted Abel's sacrifice. You didn't accept mine. You think he's better than me. And it leads him to murdering his own brother. We have always, when we let our guard down, we have always been in our minds jockeying for position, thinking, am I better than him? Is she worse than me? What do people think about me compared to those people? Jesus says, if you want to be great, if you want to be significant, you're willing to be last of all, and the diakonos, or the servant of all. I saw this play out this past week at one of our local stores. I won't say which one it was. I had to run an errand, and I had to be in this one particular aisle. And these two co-workers were getting some stuff done, and they were working. But while they were working, they were having this conversation. Can you believe she got Employee of the Month? All she's ever done has been kissing up to management, and they don't see all the stuff that she doesn't do behind the scenes. See, we've been doing that all throughout time. I think my microphone's cutting out. We'll move over here. And so as they're having this debate about the unnamed, unidentified, and currently absent co-worker, talking about her with her not being present, here's what one of them then said. You know, I've been busting my tail doing things that nobody sees, and I've never been named Employee of the Month. I'm just going to quit doing those things. Now again, we smirk and we laugh and we find that amusing. But how many times have we all been guilty of a similar mindset? It might not be Employee of the Month, but somebody got rewarded, somebody got recognized, and we didn't. And we've been serving all along the way. The apostles let this sense of pride, this sense of importance, go to their heads and to their hearts. And so Jesus puts them in their place. If anyone would be first, you want to be somebody of significance, you want to be somebody great, he must be last of all and servant of all. That brings me to our next definition. A diakonos, a servant, is anyone willing to serve everyone. Anyone. You want to be great, you want to be significant. Jesus says this, it can be anybody. And speaking to the disciples, speaking to the apostles, he's saying, yeah, you 12, you are going to be some important people. They probably in this moment didn't realize how important they were going to be in the movement of Jesus' followers. That these 12 were going to lay the foundation of the church, that these men were going to elucidate upon Jesus' teaching and doctrine, not just in their time, but for all time. And as important and significant as their position, as their calling was as apostles, Jesus says, None of you here are so important or so significant that you can't serve everyone. See, Jesus doesn't say if anyone would be first, he must be last of some and servant of some. He says, last of all, are you willing? Am I willing? And even Jesus speaking to the apostles, are the apostles willing to put every other person before themselves? Now that's the real challenge of service. Because when I'm honest, it's easy to serve some people. It's easy to serve my family members most of the time. Sometimes they're difficult. It's easy to serve my friends. It's easy to serve people who serve me back. It's easy to serve people I know who will recognize and reward me. But what about those people who can't do anything for me, can't reward me, don't recognize me? That's when real service is tested. And so Jesus, to reinforce this message, what's he do? He puts a child in their very midst. Continue reading in verse 36. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now, this is a precious image. The idea of our Lord and Savior taking this child, a little boy, and then not just putting, Jesus isn't just standing there saying, look at this child. Jesus is holding this child. Mark makes it clear that Jesus takes him in his arms. He says, you want to be great? You want to be somebody significant? Be last of all and servant of all. And let me show you what that looks like. It's shown in how you serve someone as little and insignificant as this little boy. That brings us to our third definition. A diakonos is one who serves the no one. I'm not here today to tell us that children are nobodies. But in the world's eye, children are some of the most overlooked and underserved categories of people. It was that way in Jesus' day, and it continues to be that way today. And why is that? Because they can't do anything for you in return. You serve a child, sometimes they might remember to say thank you, but they can't do anything back for you. They don't have the maturity, the understanding, they don't have the financial resources to really reward you in earthly terms. And so as Jesus takes this child and holds him and says, if you really want to be somebody great, then serve the littlest, the least, and the last of these. He's not just talking about children. He's talking about all kinds of categories of people. The nobodies of the world. The nobodies of his world. The nobodies of our world. The people that everybody else overlooks or dismisses, and even the people that others think they don't deserve to be served. The people that others speak poorly about. This past week, Caroline relayed to me an experience that she had at one of the local grocery stores. She has, probably like a lot of you, a certain day of the week that she and Bo go grocery shopping, and Bo's an outgoing kid. Says hi to people and smiles, and she commented how she was there with Bo, and there was another mother about Caroline's age, I think with more than one child, but also with a little boy around Bo's age. And if you've ever been in a grocery store, you know, you're passing and going around the same, you know, some people, you're doing the same tasks at the same time, and you see the same ones over and over again. And so she and this other mother doing the same tasks, and lots of people engaged Bo, said hi to him, commented on how cute he was, and Caroline was flattered and received that nicely. But she noticed something else. Nobody did the same thing for that other mother. That other mother looked different than Caroline. Now, what people might not have known, I can't say this, Caroline's the foreigner. That person actually might have been from Morristown. But they didn't look like they were from Morristown. And they didn't talk like they were from Morristown. See, that's where service is tested. Do we see the people that get overlooked and underserved by the world, even if it's not popular, if it doesn't score us points, and if it doesn't reward us? Not because of what we get out of it, but because it's the right thing to do. Jesus, when he walked through the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee, you know what people regularly saw? A diakonos, a servant, and somebody who served the ones that nobody else was willing to get close to. The people who were unpopular, the people who were hated, the people who some said those are sinners. And you know what? Sometimes they were right. Sometimes those people were sinners. But guess what? The ones unwilling to serve were also sinners. Their sins might have been different. Not as public, not as visible. And Jesus came to do what? To serve them all. If we're going to follow in the steps and the example of our Lord and Savior, we serve the no ones for no other reason than it's the right thing to do. And so if you want to be somebody great, if you want to be somebody significant, here's what you do. You make a difference in somebody else's life. You bring significance to their lives. You don't seek it for yourself. You don't seek the pedestal or the attention. You say, I want to make a positive difference in somebody else's life. That's what it means to be a diakonos, to be a servant, to be a minister. This last screen, just to quickly review all the different definitions. A diakonos, a servant. It's one who gets something done. You just get something done. Anyone willing to serve everyone, and one who serves the no one. As you think about that, where do you think we as a nation would be today if we all just said, I'm going to be a diakonos? I'm going to be a servant like this. I'm going to get things done, and I'm going to get things done for the benefit of everyone. You think about the state of our families and our homes in our society today. What if every husband and wife, every parent and every child says, in my home, I am going to be a diakonos. I'm going to serve my family and my home to the benefit and the blessing of everyone God has given me. In our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, what if we all said, it's not about me? They might not see what I do. I might not get recognized. I might not get rewarded, but that doesn't matter to me because somebody needs to do something, and I'm that somebody. God has put me in this place right now so that I too can be a servant. What would the church look like if we all said, here I am, Lord. Your servant hears. I want to get something done on your behalf for the blessing and benefit of others around me and for your glory and honor. What would the world think about the church if every person who calls himself or herself a Christian, what if we all said, I am going to be a servant. I'm going to get something done. I'm going to use, whether it's my position or my resources or my opportunities and my talents, I am going to use these things to serve others for the glory of God. None of us are too important to serve. And if Jesus could tell the apostles that they needed to serve the least among them, then I certainly need to be willing to do the same. It's somewhat sad, but again humorous. You just need to turn your Bible one page to Mark chapter 10. That this will not be the first time Jesus has to have this conversation with the apostles. When you get to Mark chapter 10, they, like us, have short-term memories. Or maybe they, like us, they hear the teaching, they hear the lessons, and they miss the application. Maybe they're going around telling each other, all right, if I want to be great, I need to be last of all and servant of all. And just quoted that, like quoting scripture, and it sounds really pious and really important. But next thing you know, you get to Mark chapter 10, and what happens? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they want Jesus to give them the highest positions. Maybe they thought, well, Jesus, you weren't talking about who sits your right hand and left hand. You're just talking about us arguing about who's greatest among us. We just want to sit on your right and left hand. It's the same debate. It's the same argument. Some accounts of this story say they even got their mom involved to go to Jesus. Can you just give my boys are good boys, just give them a seat on your right and your left. Make them more important than everybody else. So what does Jesus have to say to them again? Mark chapter 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, your diakonos. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Then listen to this. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, when God came in the flesh, he came as a diakonos. He came as a servant. And if he came to serve, then I certainly can go out into the world and serve as well. As we think about some applications of this specifically for our church, and as we lay a foundation, as we go into our lessons next month on our deacons, let me say this. God did not designate deacons. Now here I'm talking about the office that we find in 1 Timothy 3. God did not designate deacons to accomplish tasks that all of us should be doing. The eight men's names that we read on the screen earlier, and whatever other names we add to that list, I shouldn't be asking them to do things that I can already be doing. I shouldn't be asking them to serve in ways that I am equipped and able and have opportunities to serve. And unfortunately, in too many churches today, churches are dying and they are disconnected because deacons are trying to fulfill the service of the church at large. And there is a trickle-down effect to that that is destructive spiritually, but in some ways physically as well. What happens is too many times people say, well, I'm a church member, I show up, and that's it. Being a part of the Lord's church means that we all serve, and we serve to the benefit and blessing of the larger body. But when deacons serve in place of the membership at large, then what ends up happening is many times elders get the responsibilities that the deacons should have been doing, and then sometimes the spiritual work of pastoring that the elders should be doing either goes undone or underdone, or sometimes everybody, and this is one of the big problems I think in the modern day church, is many people look at a position like mine as if I'm a pastor. I am not a pastor. We have four elders. They are to be the pastors of our church. But the health of any congregation largely begins when we are all servants, when we are all giving of ourselves. That allows deacons to fulfill their calling by God, elders to serve and fulfill their calling by God, and people in my position to fulfill our calling as well. And so sometimes we might have to remind ourselves, what can I be doing or what do I need to be doing? A good place to start is this, the newsletter. The front of our newsletter, usually when I speak about it, I emphasize that we need to be praying for these people. But a lot of these people we can be serving as well. People who are sick and struggling in some way physically. Some of our elderly members and our shut-ins who we haven't seen in a while. From time to time, people will say, well, have we heard from so-and-so or have you checked on so-and-so? Let me encourage all of us to this. If that ever crosses your mind and you're in a position where you're free to make a phone call or make a visit or send a card, please do it. Because that's something all of us can be doing. Those works and those responsibilities are not reserved for just a few. Those are things we all can be doing. Sometimes we look around and we say, I haven't seen so-and-so in our worship services lately. And there are times where the elders or I might be able to relay information that's not confidential. There's sometimes we can't tell you everything that we know, but here's something you can always do. You can always check on that person. You can always do what you can to encourage and lift them up and let them know that we are here to serve them. When we have visitors in our assemblies, in our worship services, I've never heard this said here, and I'm thankful for that, but I have heard this said about other churches. I've heard other churches say, you know, we just need to assign a deacon to greet and welcome visitors. Now, let me tell you this. That's not why God called for the church to appoint deacons. I'm not saying that deacons are above greeting our visitors. I'm just saying we all can do that. We can all be the welcoming committee. And as I've said in the past in Bible classes, if we just have some person assigned to greet and welcome people, that seems awfully artificial. And it usually comes off as insincere to those who are visiting. We all can serve in that way. And so when someone or something comes to your attention or to your mind, when they come to my attention, my mind, my first reaction should be, how can I meet this need? How can I get something done? And I'll even add this. If after doing all that, if you're still looking for ways to serve and things to do, go to one of our deacons. Go to one of our elders. You're welcome to ask me as well. Say, how can I help? How can I contribute to the life and growth of this church? How can I contribute to the life, spiritually speaking, of this community? Because we're not just here to serve one another. We're here to serve all. And certainly our world today needs more and more servants. In many ways, the service of humanity should begin with the Lord's church, because we're the ones who demonstrate Him to the world. We're the ones who show His goodness and His righteousness and His work in our lives. And when we do, we become more like Him. We understand and see Him better, because He came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for all of us. And that is why we're here today. This morning, if you need to come to the Lord, you need to know that He came because He loves you and He came to serve you, especially to bring about salvation for each and every one of us. To give of His life the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of our sins, that we could live a new and free and forgiven life. And then after following His example, that we also live with freedom to serve one another. This morning, if you need to be freed from your sins, you can put Christ on in baptism, declaring Him as your Lord and Savior, repenting of your sins, and coming up out of the waters of baptism a new person, a person modeled after His image. For those of us who are Christians, for us as the church. Let us serve one another. If you need us to serve you today, to pray with you, to encourage you, to help you grow as you follow Jesus Christ, we're here to receive you. Whatever you need of him and of us this morning, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.